This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I had a chance to catch up with longtime Chargers offensive lineman Nick Hardwick recently, and he and I sat down on Radio Row in Miami. That was the last time that we had him on the show, and it was really cool to meet him and to get to know his story a little bit. And so that's where I began when I talked to him recently. We had just started to hear about the virus, actually, in Miami. It was a story, but it was more about over there in Asia, what was happening, and the perspective of these last 3 months. Wow, Nick, it's hard to believe what's happened since we last spoke.
Oh, crazy. And see, you must have been on the very forefront of it, because when we were down in Miami, I heard nothing of this virus or the implications or what was going to end up becoming kind of the world as we know it. So, wild times, and really wild times, just watching how the world's reacted and really in a sad way watching so many lives lost and
sure.
People's lives affected and changed forever and futures and outcomes. And you know, I think a lot about my college seniors or high school seniors in the athletic realm, and I know it's just a little microcosm of life, but you know, kids who were getting ready to come into their own. They had physically matured and they were getting ready to, they'd been sitting as the backup for 3 years. And then all of a sudden it was going to be their time. And then the world just got wiped out from underneath them. And they never really got a chance to showcase all that they've been working on for 16 or 17 years. So, you know, that's just a little slice of kind of the unfortunate circumstances of really an act of God, like this coronavirus.
It definitely is, and so much has happened, even as the sports world and a lot of the rest of the world has been staying at home and staying indoors, and yet somehow it's been a really busy 3 months. I want to talk a little bit about the NFL in a second, but I also am wondering, I know you do podcasts and you're in the same arena as I am, you know, talking throughout this whole thing. What's one creative way that you found to kind of pass the time and to keep listeners entertained while you're doing your podcast?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, thankfully, like ESPN put out the Jordan documentary and then the Lance Armstrong documentary, and you get to kind of relive the glory a little bit. I think the hard thing is like going back and really watching old games just as themselves and trying to relive those moments without any further commentary on top of them. Like the Jordan documentary for me was everything. It just felt like I was 9 and 10 years old again, and right in the middle of it, I was a huge Pacers fan growing up in Indianapolis, and Reggie Miller, and hearing Jordan talk about that battle and how challenging it was to beat them. I just thought, oh my God, this takes me right back to my middle school and high school years. It was just really, it was everything. And it was a great opportunity for us. I've got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old boy. It was just a great opportunity for us to show them that era, at least a slice of that era. And I thought, how cool that they get to see finally who I think is the greatest athlete entertainer ever, Michael Jordan, and how graceful he was and how competitive he was. Goodness gracious. Like, if I had 1/10 of that competitiveness in me, I think I would have had a much better career. But it is staggering to watch him. And then you get the Lance documentary and all the fallout from there. So there's plenty of things that keep us occupied, and it's challenging times, but also kind of, and I say this from a perspective of, I understand that I've got a lot of privilege in my life, having played 11 years in the NFL and having a lot of financial security. So I get it saying that, that being with the family and being hunkered down at home and having the ability to just take the kids through their schoolwork and be there with them and see how they learn online, and to be able to do all that and to get this real good family time. For us, we're going to look back at this and we're going to think these were some great moments. And I say that with all restraint, knowing that there's people who are suffering immensely because of it.
Nick Hardwick spent over a decade in the NFL as an offensive lineman, a center with the then San Diego Chargers. He's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned your kiddos, and certainly a lot of families having tough conversations around the virus, but also around the protests and the fallout from the George Floyd killing. Nick, I asked my audience last week what conversations they're having with family and friends. What kind of conversations have you had with your kids about where our world is right now?
You know, it's so interesting to me because kids don't come into this world seeing color, and they've been in diverse schools, and before they got pulled out, and they have never spoken anything of color. They don't identify kids that way. And so when we have conversations, it's just to bring awareness to them about how fortunate we are and what kind of position we're in and how we got here and, you know, some of the plights of other people. And just, they are, and I think that's one of the most important things we can do, is around our own dinner tables, have very difficult conversations that are necessary to shed light on the challenges that other races face and other people with different sexual orientations and male to female. I mean, all of it, there is so much teaching to do from us to our children. And I think those conversations have to happen, and you have to get uncomfortable as a parent. You have to be willing to go there, and you have to educate yourself first and foremost so you can give your kids really good information and not be afraid to have those tough conversations, because the world's changing and they need to be aware of it. And also just, I think, have compassion and have, you know, a great understanding of where they're at, how they got here, and what they can do to help.
Mm. When you were in an NFL locker room, there's a blend of not just colors, but backgrounds, ethnicities, languages, different upbringings, different parts of the country. What did that teach you as someone who had to blend for over a decade with people who weren't always just like you?
At the end of the day, we're all just human, and you spend enough time in a locker room, and immediately, I think, what happens to you, and I think this happens if you're fortunate enough to travel internationally and to be able to do that, but in a locker room, really small little sample, immediately what sticks out to you, because I walked onto the football team at Purdue, is in my fourth semester, and I came from the ROTC program, and when I walked on immediately, I was like, well, we're different. And that happens every time I go to another city, every time I go to another country. It's like the differences stick out. But then when you get down to work and you immerse yourself in the process, what really sticks out is how similar we all are and how we're all a little bit scared in this world and how we're all just doing the best that we can and with what we have and the resources available to us. And to me, it's really just, we're all human, and we're all here fighting for ourselves and fighting for our families. And then if you're lucky enough to be a part of a team, you get to fight for the team. And that's what's so beautiful about sports. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you look like, what your name is. None of that matters. How much do you care about your brother or sister next to you? How much are you willing to prepare? And I think, and I've said this for a long time, the team that goes the furthest is the team that cares and loves one another the most. Regardless of race and regardless of anything else, it's just how much you care about each other, because the more you care, the more you love one another, the further you're willing to go in your preparation, in your studies, in your maintenance program for your own individual body, because you know somebody is going to be counting on you on game day, and you don't want to let that somebody down.
You cross paths with Drew Brees in San Diego for a couple of years. What is your reaction to what you've seen around his initial interview with Yahoo Finance and then the backlash and his apology?
Yeah, so Drew was the reason that I walked onto the football team at Purdue. I didn't play high school football. I walked on because he inspired the entire university. I mean, the way he led that Purdue football team in 2000, 2001 to the Rose Bowl for the first time since 1967, it was just a thing to behold, and I said, I got to be a part of that. And then I was fortunate enough to get drafted by the Chargers, and I remember the first time I met him, I was sitting in the cafeteria out of Charger Park in San Diego, and I was just having my lunch, and a guy comes up behind me, pats me on the back, and he said, "Hey, Boiler." And I turned around, and I was like, "Holy crap, it's Drew freaking Brees. It's Drew Brees." And I was like, "Hi, Drew, how are you? Good to see you." And he's like, "Do you mind if I sit with you?" And in my head, right, I'm freaking out. And I was like, "Oh my God, Drew wants to sit down with me and have lunch? Like, this is a dream come true right here. If they cut me tomorrow, I'm all set. I just met Drew Brees. We're all good here." And then I got to play with him for 2 years, and I got to see how diligent he was and how intense his preparation was and how great of a leader he was. I mean, Drew came in my rookie year, and he kicked the coaches out of the room first day of training camp, and he basically took control of that team. And he said, "Here's our goals. Here's what we're going to do." And he involved everybody in the process. And ever since then, I've been a huge – I mean, I was a Brees fan before I played with him. And while I played with him, I was a fan. It was funny getting to snap the ball to a guy that you're a fan of. And then I've been cheering him on ever since, just because he's such a great man and he does care so much. And, you know, I got the chance on the media side of things to interview Drew. And the one thing he told me, I just asked him for, like, "Give me a little nugget, Drew. What's a key to success?" And he goes, "Everything I do in my life is intentional." And when you watch him, I would have said everything he does is intentional, down to a stretch program before the game. He's got as the clock's running down pregame, Drew's in a certain position at a certain time on the clock. You can watch it. He really is like clockwork. And then this interview came out, and it was just so bewildering because it was just so off the mark and so out of touch with the commentary and what was happening. I mean, it led me to believe that he hadn't watched or heard anything that was happening in society for the last week and a half. Like, he had been checked out. He was off the grid. And when somebody asked him a question about kneeling for the national anthem, he just said, "Hey, bring back the tape from 2018. I'll give you the stock answer."
Right, right.
And I don't know if that's the case, but that's the only thing I can think of, because it just seemed so lost in translation from where we are and what we're all watching and going through together as a country. And for a guy who's that intentional at all times to have missed the mark, in his words, by such a wide margin, I had never seen him make an error like that. And I do think, though, as you say, you know, the apologies, I should say, that have followed, and some of his teammates coming back and having had met with them, I do believe, and this is really strange to say this after it's still pretty fresh, I think this is going to give the Saints a better opportunity than other teams to get closer together. And I said it on Sports Talk Radio this morning out in San Diego. I don't want to give my Super Bowl contenders yet, but I do look back to that year with the protests that were happening during the national anthem, and you remember the team that was at the forefront of the conversation. It was Chris Long and Malcolm Jenkins and the Philadelphia Eagles, and Chris put his arm around Malcolm and made a huge statement nationally. They became the epicenter of the conversation about the national anthem protest. And they ended up having, I'm sure, in that locker room, I don't know, I wasn't there, I'm sure they had more intense conversations, more compassionate conversations, and they got to know everybody in that locker room better because of that conflict or that moment that they had. that they got to know each other better and more intensely. They ended up loving one another more. And I do believe they went on to win a Super Bowl because of that. And I think this is going to give the Saints that exact same opportunity where Drew, and as knucklehead of a comment was it was and as off base as it was, I do believe it's going to give the Saints a chance to rally together and make a really good run at this Super Bowl this year.
Nick Hardwick spent 11 years in the NFL with the Chargers as an offensive lineman, does radio in San Diego, and has the Finding Center podcast. I really appreciate your perspective on Drew as someone who knows him personally. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, just maybe another 90 seconds or so, you also had the benefit of playing with Philip Rivers. So how do you like his marriage with the Colts now?
Oh, my God, I love it. It just so happens. I love it. Philip's my best friend, and I talk to him all the time.
Aww.
And you certainly can't steer a guy one direction or another, especially a guy with the will of Philip Rivers. But as I was thinking about him and free agency and hearing talks maybe about the Monday night booth and broadcasting, I'm like, it's either got to be the Colts or it's got to be that Monday night booth, because I just don't see anything good coming out of other situations other than this Indianapolis Colts team. It's a perfect fit for him. Great run game, really strong offensive line, young defense, and they're going to have a hell of a year this year. I mean, imagine a team last year that went 7-9 and their starting quarterback decided to retire the week before the season was to begin.
Right.
And they still were able to go 7-9. That's pretty daggone remarkable. So he's walking into a ready-made situation, and he's just going to have to manage the program. He's not going to have to do anything above and beyond what he's capable of doing. And I think he's in a really good position to make a good deep playoff run.
Is he excited?
Oh, God, is he excited. Amy, he wakes up excited just every day naturally. I mean, he's got the shortest-term memory you could ever imagine. He's like a defensive back when it comes to that. Every play, he's excited. Every day he wakes up just chomping at the bit. He is very excited to be a part of the organization, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear it. All right. You can find Nick on Twitter at Nick Hardwick. Spent 11 years with the Chargers on the offensive line. Now does radio well, as you can hear. Also hosts the Finding Center podcast. And two very different interviews that we've done in 2020, Nick. But I hope we can hit the trifecta once football returns. Thank you so much.
Whenever you need me, Amy, I'm here for you.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.